This Morning, America's First News starts right after this. As a business owner, you need protection for your physical and financial assets. From general and professional liability insurance to business owners and commercial auto policies, GEICO can help. Go to geicocommercial.com for your free quote and see how much you could save today.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This Morning with your host, Gordon Deal.
Differing tax plans. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka. On this Friday, November 10, glad you're with us, and here's what we have for you this hour.
Senate Republicans have introduced their proposal to rewrite the tax laws. Here are the significant changes from what the House has offered.
Sexual misconduct allegations have hit Alabama Senate candidate Roy Moore a month before a special election.
Another entertainer accused of inappropriate behavior. This time the allegations involve comedian Louis C.K.
And it's not pay, not perks, not time off. The number one thing employees want that will keep them happy.
Showing appreciation, number one. It's a pretty clear leader out there, above pay, above a lot of other things on that list. So I don't know, it seems simple, and I wanted to get the message out there.
Katie Hill at moneyish.com on a new survey about what makes workers most satisfied. Her report in about 20 minutes. The Washington Post is reporting that Alabama Republican Senate candidate Roy Moore is being accused of a sexual encounter with a 14-year-old girl when he was 32. It happened 38 years ago in 1979. Lee Korfman, who's now 53, says Mr. Moore introduced himself to her and her mother as they were waiting to attend a child custody hearing. They eventually dated. On a second visit, she says he took off her shirt and pants and removed his clothes. He touched her over her undergarments, she says, and guided her hand to touch him over his underwear. Current Alabama Republican Senator Richard Shelby.
Well, I don't know. It's a devastating, nasty story. If the revelations, if that's true, I don't believe there'd be any place for him in the U.S. Senate.
Three other women interviewed by the Post also say Mr. Moore pursued them when they were between the ages of 16 and 18. They found it flattering at the time. None say they were forced into any sort of relationship or sexual contact. The campaign of Mr. Moore, by the way, said if the allegations were true, they would have surfaced during earlier campaigns, adding, quote, "This garbage is the very definition of fake news." The proposal by Senate Republicans to overhaul the tax code is notably different from the one released by House Republicans. For one, the Senate bill would delay a cut in the corporate tax rate to 20% until 2019. Also, it would double the estate tax exemption to a maximum of about $11 million per person, but it would leave the 40% tax itself in place for estates above that level. Thirdly, the Senate bill sets a 38.5% top tax rate for individuals and preserves a seven-bracket structure. Republican Senator Tim Scott of South Carolina.
The individual mandate has been on the table for a long time. The reality of it is requiring people to buy health insurance is something that I'm opposed to doing.
Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer.
The Senate doesn't trim the state and local deduction. It doesn't tweak it. It completely eliminates it.
GOP leaders now have dozens of differences to reconcile and little time before the year-end deadline they've set to pass it. The battle in Washington over the fate of the Obama-era law is now starting to hit Americans' pocketbooks as the Affordable Care Act's open enrollment season begins, allowing consumers to choose their plans for 2018. Washington Democratic Senator Patty Murray.
If you take away that mandate, then people won't that don't sign up raise the cost for everybody else, including those who are not on the ACA exchange, because that's how the marketplace works. So what that actually would cause is for rates to go up.
Meanwhile, millions of people who don't get subsidies are seeing steeper costs, sparking a battle between Democrats and Republicans over who gets the blame. It's a story by Wall Street Journal health policy reporter Stephanie Armour. Stephanie, what are you hearing?
I've been talking to consumers over the past few days who are, you know, so strongly hit by these increases that they're looking at moving, they're looking at giving up their self-employment to try and get insurance. This is really a big hit for, you know, millions of people.
But the woman you lead off the story with, this Dori Lawson, I mean, her premium's going up 60% to $3,000 a month. I mean, most Americans probably don't even earn that.
Right, and she lives in an area where there is only one insurer on the exchange, so she doesn't have really any other options at all.
Wow.
Yeah. So she's looking at relocating. They live in Wyoming, and she's looking at whether she needs to move the family to somewhere where they can get something cheaper.
Wow. Did she get any reason from the insurance company as to why?
Well, the insurance company, I did speak with them, and they are attributing the stark increase this year to the uncertainty about the health law that's been created in Washington and a decision by President Trump to end subsidies that help offset insurers' costs. So that's what they're attributing their large increase to.
Wow. All right, which takes us around to the blame game here. Who's saying what about what?
Well, I think what you're really seeing after Tuesday night's election is that Republicans are increasingly vulnerable when it comes to health care, especially as we look at the 2018 campaign. You have the referendum in Maine that passed to expand Medicaid. You have voters in Virginia who elected a Democrat governor, and in the exit polls they said health care was the number one issue on their minds when they voted. So I think what you're seeing now is Democrats are trying to jump on this and say, look, Republicans, you need to slow down on your talk of repeal. And you're also seeing Republicans who are wondering and kind of been divided between whether to go more aggressively or whether to kind of not do quite as much. But I do think that the high premiums that the unsubsidized are getting are putting a lot of pressure on the GOP right now.
Goodness. We're speaking with Wall Street Journal health policy reporter Stephanie Armour about her piece entitled Democrats and GOP Spar Over Who Is to Blame for Rising Health Insurance Premiums. What was the example you gave? There was about an individual policy in Texas that was one price and rising, and in Iowa it was the same plan and more expensive.
Right. This was an analysis that the Kaiser Family Foundation did that looked at how much premiums are going up for people without subsidies, but they also looked at, for people who are getting subsidies, how much they're going down. I mean, that's what you're really seeing for 2018. You've never seen such a big divide. You've got, you know, 7 million people or so who don't get subsidies who are seeing double and triple digit increases, and you have, you know, roughly 8, 9 million people who do get subsidies who, in many cases, are able to get, you know, strong drops in their costs, and for very low income, the ability to get insurance for free.
Mm. So I know as President Trump tweets and many critics of the Affordable Care Act will say, this is the Democrats' law. They passed it with no Republican support. They own it. But the tide is, you get the sense it's turning?
I do, based on what we're seeing Democrats jump on right now and some of the Republican Hill aides I've talked to who are saying, look, maybe we want to rethink repealing the requirement that everybody has to have insurance. That's something they had been looking to do, and they're kind of rethinking that at this point after the election. So, yeah, I do think that the tide is somewhat turning, but Republicans are really, and President Trump is really trying hard to continue to point the blame at Democrats and saying, look, you passed this law that was having trouble even before we came into office.
All right. You said, too, analysts expect that next year the gulf between people who get subsidies and those who don't will widen. That could mean what?
Well, it's really the most stark difference I think we've seen. And I think what that's going to do is you're going to hear a lot more of an outcry from people who are seeing their increases go up.
Thanks, Stephanie. Wall Street Journal health policy reporter Stephanie Armour in Washington. 15 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for being with us. Welcome into Friday. Five women have detailed sexual misconduct allegations against Emmy-winning comedian Louis C.K. for more than 10 years ago. More from this morning's Mike Gavin.
The New York Times says of the five women who've come forward, three said he had pleasured himself in front of them. CK, who is 50, is the creator and star of the show Louie on FX and one of the most popular and praised stand-up comedians. He has often joked about sexual topics in his stand-up routines and show. Meanwhile, the New York premiere for his latest movie, I Love You, Daddy, was scheduled for last night but was abruptly canceled before the Times story was published. He also had to scrap an appearance on The Late Show with Stephen Colbert. Gordon.
Thank you, Mike. His last name, by the way, the letters C and K, that's a phonetic pronunciation of his last name. 20 minutes after the hour on This Morning, Jennifer Kashenka is here with more of America's First News.
Gordon, Senate Republicans have revealed the details of their sweeping tax legislation, including a one-year delay in plans for a major corporate tax cut. Their bill would leave the prized mortgage interest deduction untouched for homeowners and a concession to the powerful real estate lobby, but would ignore a House compromise on the hot-button issue of state and local tax deductions. Republican Senator Tim Scott of South Carolina.
As we see the growth in our economy from by lower taxes, we'll actually have more economic activity. And all you need to make this thing a net win for the long-term deficits and debt of our country is a 0.4% increase.
Minority Leader Chuck Schumer says the bill will be bad for the GOP.
They lose if it fails. They lose if it passes. There's only one good path out for them. Work with us on a good bill.
Meanwhile, the House Ways and Means Committee approved its own version of the legislation on a party-line vote. A low-profile special election in Alabama has become an issue that threatens a once-safe GOP Senate seat. Republican Senate candidate Roy Moore, a 70-year-old former state Supreme Court justice, is defiantly denying allegations of decades-old sexual misconduct with minors published by the Washington Post. The revelations coming out a month before a special election triggered a sharp backlash from would-be Republican colleagues on Capitol Hill, who called on Moore to quit the race if the allegations are true. Hours after leaving Beijing, President Trump today delivered what appeared to be a sharp rebuke to China, railing against trade practices he says it put Americans out of work.
From this day forward, we will compete on a fair and equal basis. We are not going to let the United States be taken advantage of anymore.
Meanwhile, the White House says Trump will not have a formal sit down with Russian President Vladimir Putin while the two attend a summit in Vietnam. On again, the once on again, off again suspension of Dallas Cowboys running back Ezekiel Elliott is on again after a federal appeals court in New York City yesterday denied his request to extend a hold on the suspension. The second leading rusher in the NFL will begin a 6-game suspension for alleged domestic violence this weekend.
I believe there is a whole semester's worth of legal maneuvering just from this case alone.
Yes, and there could be one more on December 1st, but for now he's out at least 4 games.
Wow. Thank you, Jen. 23 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Glad you're with us. Apparently, workers just want to feel appreciated. A new survey by PayScale.com finds that's the number one factor impacting employees' satisfaction with their employers. Rounding out the top five, good communication, career development, pay, and the company's future outlook. More from Katie Hill, editor at MoneyIsh.com. Katie, what's up here?
You know what the number one thing is? Appreciation.
Wow.
Your boss, your manager, your company, they have to make you feel appreciated if you're going to be satisfied with your job. And I thought, oh my God, I mean, companies, I don't know. I don't know why it needs to be so hard for them, right? This is a pretty much a free thing to do.
Yeah.
Have your employees feel appreciated, say thank you to them, etc. It's completely free to do, and it's the number one thing that keeps people satisfied with their employer.
Hmm. Not pay, not benefits, not time off.
Those are secondary. Those are really secondary. It's showing appreciation, number one. It's a pretty clear leader out there, above pay, above a lot of other things on that list. So I don't know. It seems simple, and I wanted to get the message out there.
The skeptic or the cynic in me might say, this is catering to millennials because back in the day it was do the damn job. Enjoy it, or we will replace you.
It very well may be, because they are a huge part of the workforce now, right? And so things have got to change. And yeah, they like, you know, they like the praise and the meeting with you to know how well they're doing and all of that stuff. And so that certainly may be skewing this data. They did not break it out by age, so it's hard to tell. But this, yeah, I mean, I think, you know, maybe 10, 15, 20 years ago, pay might have really topped this, and now appreciation is number one.
Speaking with Katie Hill, editor at MoneyIsh.com, her piece is called The Number One Thing That Will Keep You Happy at Work. And we're talking about appreciation, or a kind gesture, an attaboy, if you will. Thinking outside the box, it could be a cheaper way to run your business with lower labor costs if you don't have to give raises and all you have to do is tell somebody, you know what, you are wonderful, you are a spectacular employee, and we are lucky to have you.
Right. And look, I mean, pay matters. They clearly show that. And one way also you could show appreciation is by giving them a raise. But if you're paying pretty fairly anyway, I mean, a lot of companies pay fine, right? They pay decently. But people still leave all the time, right? You see this open door thing going on in companies even that pay pretty decently. And probably what you're looking at is there's an issue here that the company doesn't make their employees feel appreciated. And, you know, it's so simple, right? If you're a boss and your employee does a good job, a little note, little email saying thank you so much and praising exactly the specific things that they did, I mean, that might take you 3 minutes to write that email off, send it to an employee. But that's the kind of thing that keeps them satisfied with their job, makes them feel valued.
Thanks, Katie. Katie Hill, editor at moneyish.com. 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Hey, the holidays are fast approaching. Order gifts for everyone on your list with a click of a mouse. Let me tell you about Omaha Steaks and how for only $49.99, you can get the family gift pack when you go to omahasteaks.com and enter my code DEAL in the search bar. That's 75% off. Omaha Steaks offers the most flavorful, tender-aged beef, aged for 21 days to unlock the full flavors of the cuts, hand-trimmed and vacuum-sealed. They also have veggies, desserts, appetizers, fresh seafood, and so much more. Right now, Omaha Steaks is giving an exclusive savings for our listeners. Listen to everything that you'll get for less than $50. 2 filet mignons, 2 top sirloins, 2 boneless pork chops, 4 boneless chicken breasts, 4 kielbasa sausages, 4 burgers, 4 potatoes au gratin, 4 caramel apple tartlets, 1 Omaha Steak seasoning packet, plus 4 additional kielbasa sausages free. Go to omahasteaks.com, enter my code DEAL in the search bar, and get a 75% savings. It's the gift guaranteed to be a hit.
America's First News is online all the time. Follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show, like us on Facebook, or send us an email, thismorning@compassmedianetworks.com.
Thanks for being with us. On this Friday, November 10, Gordon Deal with Jennifer Koschenka. Some of our top stories and headlines. Senate releases a tax rewrite notably different from a House measure. Sex-mixed conduct charges against Alabama Senate candidate Roy Moore. Seahawks beat the Cardinals in the Thursday night football game but lost Richard Sherman to an Achilles rupture. Many government offices closed today for Veterans Day since November 11 is on a Saturday this year. Magnum PI actor John Hillerman has died at 84. And the anniversary of the sinking of the Edmund Fitzgerald, a little tribute in about 15 minutes, and how a boy is thanking cops across the country. That story in about 20 minutes. As President Trump arrived in Vietnam for his latest stop on a trip to Asia, the White House says he will not have a separate meeting with his Russian counterpart, Vladimir Putin, due to scheduling conflicts. Meanwhile, Western authorities need to get to the bottom of Russian election interference, prosecute any lawbreakers, and figure out how to fight back against such interference. But Yahoo Finance columnist Rick Newman says it's also worth keeping in mind that Russia has a largish economy and is a major player in the energy sector, making it hard to ignore, even with Western sanctions that have been in place since 2014. He explores how much vilifying is too much. Rick, explain.
Well, I'm no fan of Vladimir Putin, and it's obvious that the Russians tried to screw up our elections last year and undermine our democracy. However, it's gotten to the point that every time you hear the Russians mentioned in some story, it's almost as if, oh my God, somebody had a meeting with a Russian. Therefore, they should go to jail. And we are sort of we've gotten to the point where we associate the word Russian with the word criminal, and anybody who ever has any dealings with a Russian is therefore tainted by association. You need to step back for a moment and look at what happens in the big global economy. The Russian Federation is the second largest producer of both oil and natural gas in the world. It sells energy products all around the world. It ships them. And, if you happen to be in that business, which the Commerce Secretary Wilbur Ross is, you are going to encounter customers or business partners who have connections with Russia somehow. Mm-hmm. I mean, you just cannot avoid such a big player in a sector as large as the energy sector. So we now saw these revelations that Wilbur Ross has an ownership stake in a company that lists a Russian firm as one of its big customers, and that Russian firm turns to be partly owned by the son-in-law of Vladimir Putin and another Putin ally. So, oh my God, it sounds terrible. As if here the Russians are again stealing American democracy. Except so what about this Wilbur Ross deal? If there's a crime, if he's breaking some law, then good. Tell us what law he's breaking, and let's prosecute him. And if he's not, we can't just say, oh, my God, because you have a business deal with the Russians, you're somehow corrupt.
So what's the what would be an example of over-vilifying, I guess?
It's just guilt by association. I mean, some business deals are really just business deals. So if we go back to this Wilbur Ross allegation, I don't carry any water for Wilbur Ross. And if he did something wrong, then let's get to the bottom of it. And if there need to be consequences, let's get to the consequences. But, you know, he didn't disclose every single investment that every trust in his portfolio has made. But he's not required. He's also not required to provide all of that information. So somebody, you know, the leak of these so-called Paradise Papers shows that there, you know, in one case he had this client, he doesn't even own the whole company. Look, that's just a business deal. And there's nothing wrong with having a business deal like that. So if there is a potential crime, then tell us what the crime is. If he violated some guideline for disclosure, then tell us that. But apparently he violated neither of those things, and yet there are all these headlines in news organizations saying, oh, my God, he has a connection with the Russians, as if, look, here he is. He's in Vladimir Putin's back pocket. I just doubt it.
We're speaking with Yahoo Finance columnist Rick Newman about his piece entitled, "We Are Actually Over-Vilifying the Russians." What about, is there a danger or a risk to doing that?
Sure. And, if you just assume, you know, this isn't about let's give the Russians a break. It's that when you find these sort of overly convenient boogeymen who are responsible for everything, every bad thing under the sun, well, guess what? That allows you to excuse your own culpability, whatever it may be, and say, oh, it's all because of these bad guys. I mean, where have we seen that? We have seen that in spades in the after action analysis of the Hillary Clinton campaign. I mean, the more we learn about the Russian meddling in the U.S. election, which was clearly significant and is a problem that we need to combat, that has just enabled the Clinton campaign to say, oh, see, we would have won if not for the Russians. I mean, that's garbage. The Hillary Clinton lost because she completely failed to connect with working class voters.
Thanks, Rick. Yahoo Finance columnist Rick Newman, who's based in New York. 20 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for being with us. Welcome into Friday. Beyond the headlines now, this morning's Mike Gavin is here with a look at some of the other stories you'll be talking about this morning.
Good morning. Well, you're seeing more and more Walmart stores with self-checkout aisles these days, and it was only a matter of time before someone might try to take advantage. Authorities say a woman tried to sneak more than $1,800 worth of electronics through a Florida Walmart self-checkout by switching the item's price tags with those from clearance items. Mm. An arrest report says the suspect and another woman selected a computer, video game controllers, and other merchandise from the electronics department, then covered the barcodes with stickers removed from less expensive items that rang up to just $3.70.
What a deal on that computer.
Not bad. The 25-year-old was arrested Monday and charged with felony grand theft and felony shoplifting.
Ooh, felony.
Yeah, because we're like $1,800. Yeah. We're well into felony range. Now, I mean, on the surface, that's not, you know, if you're a thief and you want to do that kind of thing, it's not a terrible plan, except for the fact that, you know, Walmart does have security people around watching that kind of stuff, and there's security cameras everywhere. So there's no way you're going to actually get away with something like that.
Right.
Otherwise, it was a great plan.
But computer, video game controllers, and other merchandise that you pay for cash with, also kind of unusual. Given that would probably amount to hundreds of dollars.
Yeah, I think they're watching those self-checkout aisles pretty closely.
From what I've noticed. I did go through one the other day, and I don't know if it was me or not, but as soon as I went through the doors to exit, a little siren or alert went off, and I just kind of stood there for a second.
Yeah.
I had my receipt ready just in case. But nobody came. So
nobody
I just proceeded.
Well, you at least stood. Most people just go. Most people just keep going. So
I didn't stand for a long time, I just stood.
Good job out of you. And if you've been in a car accident recently, you're no doubt familiar with the drill of having to take pictures of your damaged vehicle and send them to your insurance agent. One woman from Arkansas who perhaps had never had to send pics to an insurance company before has gained some internet fame this week for her very funny misunderstanding of the instructions. Alyssa Stringfellow, who is a 25-year-old teacher, was trying to get insured on her grandmother's car and she got a little mixed up. Instead of sending pictures of her car, Alyssa instead sent the insurers side and front photos of herself.
Mm.
The BBC says Alyssa was left red-faced when the insurer contacted her by email, writing, "I'm going to need pictures like you just took, except it needs to be of your vehicle."
Oh.
Even Meemaw got into the act, texting Alyssa using her middle name so you know it was serious. "Alyssa Rachel, did you send him pictures of yourself?" Good for her, though. Instead of trying to forget the awkward blunder, Alyssa was good-natured about it and decided to share the photos on social media. The post has now been shared over 21,000 times.
Wow.
And has over 9,000 comments, most of which are supportive of Alyssa's misunderstanding, and some who have even said that they made the same mistake themselves.
Oh, really? This is a thing.
I mean, look, they might just be saying that to try and make her feel better, but there are people who are saying that they've done that same thing before. I mean, there's 9,000 comments. There's got to be somebody maybe who made this mistake before.
Wow. I could see, you know, if you got injured in the accident,
yeah,
you know, maybe you banged your face, you know, you
right.
need to take pictures of that to document for medical reasons,
right,
I
right.
could see. But other than that,
well,
I mean, come on, I guess here.
In this particular case, again, this was not an accident itself. This was her trying to get on her grandmother's insurance. So maybe they wanted to maybe what she looked like somehow.
Okay.
I'm guessing that's what she thought, you know.
Okay. I like you trying to defend her a little
bit. I'm trying my best. Again, she was super good-natured about it. So.
Wow.
She put it out there for all of us to laugh at.
Wow. Well, very good. She gets credit for that, for sure. Thank you, Mike. 13 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. You don't often find the words business and friendly in the same sentence, let alone the same state. Unless, of course, you're talking about Michigan. Michigan's business-friendly practices help them become a leader in industries that range from agriculture and cybersecurity to aerospace and defense. In fact, Michigan is ranked among the top 10 states for major new and expanded facilities, which makes Michigan more than business-friendly. It makes Michigan business smart. To learn more, visit MichiganBusiness.org. Small business never stops moving, so Dell's U.S.-based small business technology advisors are trained to keep up. Just call 877-BUY-DELL to get connected with an advisor who will get to know your business and tailor a solution with Dell PCs powered by Intel Core processors that is right for you, so you can focus on your business and leave the tech questions to Dell. Call 877-BUY-DELL to get in touch with a tech advisor today.
We are America's First News, This Morning with Gordon Deal.
The legend lives on from the Chippewa on down at the big lake they call Gitchagumi.
As promised on Twitter, since we talked about the anniversary, swap some notes and lyrics to the famous song on Twitter. I got to mention that today is the 42nd anniversary of the wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald, the freighter that went down in a storm on Lake Superior on this date, 1975. Ship was finally found 6 months later, upside down in 530 feet of water. 29 men were lost. There's an annual memorial that takes place today. The bell that was recovered from the ship rings only once a year. It happens at a ceremony at the Great Lakes Shipwreck Museum in Whitefish Point, Michigan. The ceremony is this evening at 7 o'clock. Gordon Lightfoot, as you know, probably paid tribute in a song that came out in 1976. You know some of those lyrics, right? At 7 p.m., the main hatchway gave in. He said, "Fellas, it's been good to know you." You can follow us on Twitter, by the way, with the username @ThisMorningShow. You can follow me directly there as well, @GordonDeal. It is 8 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning. Jennifer Koshenka is back with more of America's First News.
Word in the White House says President Trump believes a mere allegation, especially one from many years ago, shouldn't be allowed to destroy a person's life. That in response to a Washington Post story that Alabama Republican Senate candidate Roy Moore had sexual contact with a 14-year-old when he was a 32-year-old assistant district attorney, press secretary Sarah Sanders.
The president also believes that if these allegations are true, Judge Moore will do the right thing and step aside.
The Moore campaign denies the report as the very definition of fake news and intentional defamation. Moore is facing a special election next month. Comedian Louis C.K. has been accused of sexual misconduct towards several women, including masturbating in front of them. According to a report in the New York Times, five women allege the Emmy-winning star of FX's Louis either pleasured himself in front of them, asked to do it, or did so over the phone. A representative for the comedian says C.K. will issue a written statement in the coming days. The Texas church, where more than two dozen people were killed by a gunman during Sunday services, will be demolished. Pastor Frank Pomeroy, whose 14-year-old daughter was among the victims, told leaders of the Southern Baptist Convention that it would be too painful to continue using First Baptist Church as a place of worship. A memorial garden is expected to take its place. UK Prime Minister Theresa May's grip on power is looking shaky after the second minister in just over a week was forced out of her cabinet. That's leading to fears her minority government may collapse and throw the tricky Brexit negotiations into even more disarray. The International Development Secretary, the latest to resign. The headlines have certainly caused confusion for consumers, but enrollment numbers for the first week of open enrollment for the Affordable Care Act have been record-breaking. Over 600,000 consumers have signed up for plans during the first week of enrollment. Enrollment continues until December 15th. Clue, the wiffle ball and paper airplanes are in. The Magic 8-Ball Pez Dispenser and My Little Pony are going to have to wait after the National Toy Hall of Fame announced the class of 2017 inductees. The toys are chosen on the advice of historians and educators following a process that begins with nominations from the public.
Historians and educators.
This is serious stuff.
This, huh? Clue, by the way. We enjoyed Clue like a handful of years ago during Superstorm Sandy.
Yes, Clue's a great game.
When the I guess the kids first introduced that when we had no power for like 6 days.
Right.
That was a kitchen table thing for like, I don't know, 4 days.
It's a great game.
Thanks, Jen. 6 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Glad you could join us. Welcome into Friday. Lots of people make jokes about cops and donuts, right? Well, Tyler Carrick made it his mission. He recently stopped in Houston with his mother, part of a 10-day road trip for his 10th birthday, thanking cops all over with free donuts. Tyler got the idea back home in Florida. He saw four cops in a store and used his allowance to buy them donuts. And how about this for mature beyond his years? Says it makes him happy to thank the people that keep his family safe. How many police officers does he want to buy donuts for? He says every single one in America. CBS News says that's 900,000 cops. So far, Tyler has visited 24 states in 14 months. In Las Vegas, he thanked cops and first responders after last month's massacre. In Albuquerque, cops sang him happy birthday. Tyler's mother thought him to think big. So far, he's handed out 34,000 donuts. Not surprisingly, by the way, Tyler wants to become a cop one day. For Jennifer Koschenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News.